Benard and share a little bit about the book.
To come and say hello to my home church, and I grew up here, and very proud to say that. I'm going to be waving around this while I talk, and I'll forget even to say it if I don't say it first. I have three copies of a biography of Benard with me. I can get more, but I have three with me. They're $10. Then I have some prayer cards, and this is the end of our time here. I'm down about 10 of these, too, so you'll have to promise that you're going to put it up on the fridge, or else I won't give you one. I can't resist starting out the way I start out every time I introduce Benard. First Sunday of November 1957, Oakwood Bible Church had one of their supported missionaries, Leonard Brain, speak. A little guy named Gordon found Christ that day. Because I was led to the Lord by an African missionary, Africa and African ministry has always been on my heart. I've been involved in it in one way or another over all these years. And so, I don't know, 12, 14 years ago was the first time I called up Pastor Steve and said, I got a good guy I would like to have speak at Lake Center Bible Church. Or Lake Center, that's where I go to church. And it rolls off my tongue so easy. But Oakwood Bible Church. It's hard to say. Wow, this chokes me up. It really does. Because I was led to the Lord by an African missionary in this church, I am so proud that I can be a part of presenting to you your supported African missionary at this church. It's meant a lot to me over the years. I say that every time I come, and I can't not resist saying it because it means so much to me. Since your support started for the Ondiaks, not just himself, but I'm going to brag on their ministry a little bit so that he doesn't have to do it himself. They've graduated 105 men from their, and some women from their Bible school for the ministry there in Western Kenya. The orphanage, it's an area of great HIV, incidence of HIV there. They started out with, the first time I was there was kind of like a converted chicken coop with a few kids in it. Now they have 812 orphans in two different sites and schools. This is K-8 school. They just finished third out of over 680, I think Pamela said, schools in their region in the eighth grade graduation exam. So they're doing a fantastic job there. I'll call him an international speaker because I know he's gone at least to Tanzania. And he's in demand as a speaker in large conferences in Kenya and in Tanzania. And not him, he's not the church planter. He's the professor at the university, at the seminary, but the two fellows have gone out from that place to start churches in an area that was unreached in his, where he was born in that region there, a region where there's almost no Christianity at all, and we now have four churches. This is just fairly recent, four churches there in southern Nyanza province. So, and it's Mother's Day, I can't not say that to Pamela. They have five biological children, and I think seven, maybe eight adopted children, and she is the mother of them all. And this picture has all of them on it, so they really are there. So she's getting a rest this Mother's Day. Nobody that she has to worry about when she's home. She's got 12. Okay, without anything else to say, it's my honor to present your missionary, Benard Ondieck, who's going to minister to you this morning.
Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day. I'm very privileged to get this opportunity to come and share with you what is happening in Kenya, Africa, and also to bring the Word of God. And I brought now my wife Pamela. We have traveled thousands of miles away to come here, and we have been very happy for the welcoming, and we thank Gordon and other people who have been part of our ministry in Kenya and mostly the Oakwood Bible Church. As you know, the Lord led us to do several ministry in Kenya, and we have really continued to see the progress, the fruits of what God called us for. My wife and I, this May is also a very good month for us. We remember that in 1991, May 25th, we got married to my wife, Pamela. Can you just stand and say hello? Yes. And we are going to celebrate our 25th year of marriage on the 25th of May. At the same time, the May is when we got our first daughter on the May 15th. And that our daughter got chance to come to Kansas City to take her degree in psychology. So we will be meeting her before we leave to go back to Kenya. Therefore, we hope that the day, the month, will be a very blessed month and a very blessed day for us. And we also celebrate Mother's Day together with you here in the United States. Before I continue briefly, I would want us just to share with you a little video, which is actually about 5 minutes, and see what has been going on since I left here. I shared with you what we were planning to do, our vision, and still there are several visions and what we've accomplished. And please just watch it briefly.
Life is so hard there. So many a time we could beg people for money so that we can support ourselves. And this money, we not only use it in food, but sometimes we use the money to maybe to buy glues and sniff. And sometimes at night you sleep at the cold and mosquitoes and all that. And maybe sometimes also the police could come and cane us thoroughly. The Advision School has been sponsoring me and supporting me both academically and spiritually up to class 8 when I finished.
Been taking kids from the street and bring them here for help, and many orphans from different places from their guardian's home.
Of which a number of them have been rehabilitated, have gone to high school. Like we had two from, we picked from Kisumu, and one managed to get 393. Currently, he studied at Maranda.
Established in 2004, Barnard's Vision Group of schools, both in Ahero and Wachara, have been a source of impressive transformation to both orphans, street children, and the area community.
We're molding the kids which are most vulnerable in the community to make them to be people in the society.
Nurturing values and academic excellence is part of the school core business, but most of all, giving hope to the hopeless in the society.
When I grow up, I want to become a teacher.
This transformational journey has rejuvenated hope for living to kids, giving them new lenses to look at life, something that has never been there before. Greg represents one case out of many of the suffering children who are currently schooling at Barnard's Vision Schools. Having lost two parents to HIV and AIDS, he is currently living with his auntie.
My name is Joyce Adhiambo. This is our home together with Greg Rolets.
Barnard's Vision School presents a folk sacred song entitled Lueng
Neke. The students are not only excelling academically, but also Barnard's Vision School is known for music festivals awards. This melts away trauma of the past experiences and brightens their future. Discipline is a key emphasis here, mindful of the background the students come from. The joy of it all is the end product. Pupils who are transformed, ready to take over leadership in the society.
When they are brought here, we ensure that we take care of them through giving them maximum discipline.
At lunchtime, we caught up with them taking lunch. This meal is so precious and never easy to come by. At home, they survive with one meal a day or nothing at all. In Wachara Kedube, something is happening. A new administration block is coming up. A day before the filming, a strong wind brought down part of the wall, injuring those who were building. The church next to the building was also destroyed. But the core business has to continue. This is a creative center.
So it started just as a small school, but it has grown to be a very big school. The school has reached standard 8, and last year we had our first candidates, and they performed well. They managed a mean score of 326.
Next to the school, a clinic is coming up. This clinic, after completion, will serve 80,000 area residents. The closest hospital is 50 kilometers away in Kedube.
Our prayer is that when this clinic will be over, the patients will be here to meet the doctors and the clinical officers. We ask you for prayers so that we can get beds and all hospital facilities, finish up this building.
This is a precious gift to the locals here. This Bible school was established 20 years ago with the aim of empowering pastors and leaders. Many of those graduating from this school are sent to schools as patrons and to other churches.
We have our library, and we have really been praying that we actually demolish this, because it was built here some time back in the 1940s.
Never weighed down by the load, Barnard's Vision School is looking forward for a great future.
All our kids are really very excited about what is going on, because every evening they would fill the bus and we'll drive them all the places to take them home. Our vision is to build a high school where we hope to get at least 120 or 40 kids every stream, so that we can educate them from Form 1 to Form 4. We have calculated that it will take us $250,000 to build a library, to build a classroom, and also to furnish it with a computer lab and a laboratory. Pray for us that we may, on this bus, that we may build a high school and add more of the classrooms. We are praying also for the water system, that everything will be okay so that our kids can get clean water. We thank God for those who have been doing a very good job of praying for us overseas. We ask you to continue praying for us, and please continue supporting us. We love you so very much, and God bless you.
If you want to support the ministry, go to www.hungryforhim.com. For children's support and teachers and general projects, please go to www.godslittleones.com. For the Bible school, please go to partnersinevangelisminternational.com. If you want to watch the progress of the school, go to our website www.barnardsvisionschool.co.ka.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are transforming lives of the kids who have been thrown out, who have been left orphaned, who have been hopeless, that in future we are going to develop a community and bring people who are professionals to break the poverty circle that has been there for years and years. Remember that when a child's father and a mother is dead, that child in Africa has got no hope, because the problem of death has occurred into every family, and therefore it is very difficult for another family to accept, to feed, to clothe, and also to educate somebody's child. Barnard's Vision School is doing this to change lives. And we know that Jesus is an unchanging changer. He changes lives, but he doesn't change. He is of yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord has called us to be his servants. We are just servants to change even a bit of life in the community. In future, we believe we are going to have professionals, doctors, teachers, lawyers, and many others who are going to come back in this village, in this community, and change other people's lives. Pray for us as we continue to do this. We are very humble before the Lord, and we know that God can use anybody, not only us, but he has chosen to use us to do this for him now. But next time, he will use somebody else. Be part of it as you pray for us that we may continue to do more for the Lord in Africa. Thank you. I know that today is Mother's Day, but maybe I will not preach a sermon on Mother's Day. But I want us to read from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 13 straight to 15. And I will combine it with the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and partly chapter 17. But let me read from the book of Galatians. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you may be destroyed by each other. Let us read briefly from the book of Samuel chapter 1. The book of Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel. No, chapter 16. Chapter 16 and partly chapter 17. Chapter 16, verse 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's read from verse 12. Verse 12. So he sent and had him brought him. Let me read verse 9. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "No, has the Lord chosen this man?" Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. He will not still sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was rowdy, with a fine appearance and had handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. In 17, I read from verse 12. Now David was 17, verse 12. Now David was the son of Ephrathite, named Jesse, who was from the Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethel. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Eliab, fighting against the Philistine. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp, and as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines of facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from these lines and shouted as usual, defense, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. In the book of Galatians that we've read, Paul wrote this book to defend his apostleship and the authority of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, at this time, we've realized that the Galatians had already turning from the legalistic belief. It is true that the legalism is still a great relevant issue up to today in our societies. Many of us are trying to turn from God's favor by following rituals and laws and rules. By the way, we've learned that Paul is telling the Galatians that you started really very well and you were good Christians, but in a point he said, who has bewitched you? Turning from the true faith, true gospel, true belief to rules and laws. Paul was very sad because the Galatians were not doing exactly what the Bible had already been taught to them. They went back to the cave of rituals and beliefs. They did not believe that they had been set free from doing what was illegal. They were set free from sin. They were once in darkness, once did not believe in God. We know that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible describes us as we were before not believers, that we never had Messiah, we were without God, we were without the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says that we were completely dead. The power and the love and the mercies of God, who brought Jesus Christ to set us free, says that we were saved by grace. We did not do anything to earn it. We were just saved by grace. We were freed from all illegalities, legalistic belief, to believe that God is the only Savior of the world. And therefore, this is bringing me a point to talk to you about free to serve, not free to sin. We have been freed to serve. In the book of Galatians, the Bible says we were set free. Paul says, brothers, we were set free not to sin, but to serve. Generally speaking, many Christians still do not understand the freedom we have had in Christ, the freedom that we've been given as believers, the freedom that we have to enjoy as believers. Why should we go back into the cave, the burden of rules and laws? We were once slaves. We were once dead. We were once completely naked. We did not have Savior, neither God. We were seen as if we were hopeless. But by the power of God, we developed faith in Jesus Christ. We had been freed from slavery of doing what is illegal. Now we are saved to go to heaven and also saved to serve as we are still living in this world. Number two, we are free to serve. In verse 3, it says, in verse 13, part 3, rather, brothers, serve one another in love. You know very well that after we've been saved and brought into the love of Jesus Christ, the only thing that now remains for us is to serve. Serve God. We are called to serve. But how can we serve? What are the necessities that would make our service be so successful as Christians worshiping God? Number one that I've learned in the service of God, all Christians must be anointed by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can enjoy the service to God. We've learned that when David was to be called into the service for God's people, the first thing that God did was to send Samuel to go anoint Brother David. And when Brother David was anointed, he got the power of the Lord to go serve. We cannot serve effectively, absolutely, if we have not been anointed by the power of God. Service needs anointment. Anointment comes from the power of the Lord. Remember, brothers and sisters, that before Jesus was engaged into the full ministry, He was to be baptized. And at the time of the baptism, the Holy Spirit came to him as a dove. And from there is when the voice of the Lord came, says, "This is my Son in whom I am pleased with." God wants to be pleased with those who have engaged in his service because they have been anointed by the power of the Lord. We are freed, we are saved to serve, and we must serve when we are completely anointed by the power of God. Remember, brothers and sisters, in the early church, when all the believers sat down, they came into one accord because they were completely anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They said, "We are going to serve." And therefore the Bible tells me and tells you that they gave everything they own for the service of the Lord. The Bible tells me that none of them accounted anything for his benefit, but they gave everything for the benefit of the service of God. This cannot be done by anybody else. It can only be done by those who have been anointed by the power of God, who knows that this world we are sojourners. This world is not our world. We are called as Christians to serve, serve and serve and serve. We serve God. Number three, in the Lord's service, after we've been anointed by the power of the Lord, know that we are freed to serve. The only thing that we ask God to serve is submission. We submit to our Lord. We listen to our Lord. We listen to the voice of God. "God, whenever you send me to serve, I will go. Whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I will do it." You remember when David was already anointed, his father Jesse, whom to me I see is a type of God, and David is a type of a servant. Jesse is telling his son, David, "My son, I want to send you to the battlefield where your brothers are. They have been fighting there for many days. Take food for them to eat. They might be now hungry. They may be suffering right now." Because of the submission of this man David, the Bible tells me that in the morning, David never complained. He never said, "Daddy, I'm still tired. I cannot go. I cannot do it. I cannot take it." In the morning, David took everything his father gave him and is set to go because he listened to the voice of his father. We can remember when God talked to the man Isaiah after he was touched by the power of God. And God asked, "Whom shall I send and who shall go for us?" Because Isaiah was already anointed by the power of God, touched his mouth and was ready to set. He never complained what he said. "Lord, I'm here. You send me." We cannot serve if we don't listen to the voice of the Lord, if we are not submissive to the voice of the Lord, man of God. We need to be submissive to the voice of God. We need to listen to the voice of God. Listen, when Jonah was sent because he was not anointed by the power of God, he complained. He complained. So many Christians are complainers even up to today. We need to be submissive. I am here telling you that when the Lord called me to get into this ministry with my wife, we listened to the voice of God. We truly listened to the voice of God. It is not a very easy job to do. It is sometimes discouraging, very hard. Sometimes you tend to quit. But the voice of God says, I am with you. I will be with you. Listen to my voice. If we cannot listen to the voice of the Lord, we will think we are worshippers of God and doing our own things. Because we are not submissive to the voice of the Lord. Number four, we have to serve. If we open our hearts to be big heart, the heart that is concerned with the people, the heart that sees the need of the people, the heart that is really groaning for the people's suffering. You see, my brothers, when David went to the war and he saw how his people were running from Goliath, because this man was a terrible man, was killing the Israelites, finishing them. There's nothing they could do every time he danced before them. Until he was telling them, please choose anybody to come and fight with me. I'm here. I'm strong. I will destroy all of you. When David went there, he opened his heart and swallowed all the Israelites in his heart. And he saw the suffering of his people. He was concerned with his people. And he said, what happens if somebody will kill this man? What happens if somebody will go and kill this man who is tormenting and making our people to suffer? Big heart for the people. God wants us to have big heart, not big heads. Very many people in our churches are big-headed. They have many big heads. They can think big things. Big things indeed. They can write big things. But with a small heart. Very, very small heart. Wherever, in so many places. And let me tell you, if you have big head and small heart, you'll be blown up. Blown up. God wants big head and big heart. A heart that you can swallow everybody in. You can fix everybody in. Open your heart that you can fix everybody in. Christians, God says, have big heart and big head. It's when you can see what God tells you to see. Is when you can know where God tells you to go. Big heart and big heads. Christians must be that way. I tell you, this is the message that we need to serve. We need to serve God, being anointed by the power of God, being submissive to God, and being completely opening our hearts to serve people. If we go to the city, sometimes you see how these street kids eat from the garbage dumps, and we say, Lord, for how long will this creature suffer like this? When you go to some of the churches, you find there's no pastor. A pastor maybe it's in another church, the other side, will go round, 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 round. In 1 year is when he comes to this church. Oh, Lord, for how long will you do this? We pray, God. God, open our hearts to be big, our heads to be big, so that we can do bigger things for you. You know, I believe we cannot be in the system of the mother of John and Andrew, who says, can you put my sons, one on the right hand and another one on the right head, on the left, so that they can be bosses? In fact, what he says, can you appoint my son to be a county director or a cabinet secretary? Can you do that, Jesus? Jesus said, no, whoever wants to serve me must be like these little boys, little children. Serve. Let us serve. The Bible says, you brothers, serve in love. The entire law is summed up in single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting each other, a church where people do not have heart, do not have submission, are not anointed by the power of the Lord, they keep on biting each other, backbiting each other, quarreling each other, hating each other. But a church that is filled by the Holy Spirit of God, anointed by the power of God, submission and the big heart is there, is a church that God loves. God loves a congregation like that, assembly like that, a church like that. We are called to serve. Called to serve.
Thank you, Bernard, for that very direct challenge and admonition to us to serve the Lord. So we will pray for big heads that are full of vision and bigger hearts that are full of the love of God. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I also would like to remind you to remember in prayer Tim and Kelly Peterson. They will be leaving early Friday morning for Costa Rica, and we'll spend 11 or 12 days there serving the ROTS with Tactica Ministries. It's a rather grueling ministry that they'll be engaged in this time, so they could use extra prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand as we bow in prayer, and as I pray, Bernard and Pamela, would you and both head back to the foyer and be able to greet the people there, and Gordon, Dom can join you there too, and hand out the books to whoever has the best pitch. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege once again to be reminded of what you do around the world. Sometimes we get so focused on our little part here, and that's all we really see. But it's been good for us in these recent months to have our missionaries come back, and just to remind us that you're still working and you're still bringing people to Christ and you're still involved in doing some unusual things. And as Bernard has presented his ministry and his vision to you, and so much more that needs to be done, a vision for a high school, a vision for more skilled and expert laborers to come and help advance this great vision, I would pray that this would be fulfilled sooner than expected. And I pray, too, that you will keep them safe in their travels that are yet before them. I pray for Pamela's health, that you will undertake for her. Keep them both strong and well and serving you for many years to come. Thank you again for the privilege of being able to meet Pamela and to be refreshed in what you are doing through the ministry that they're engaged in. Bless us as we go our way now. May this message continue to be on our hearts and on our minds. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll just give a moment for Bernard and Pamela to make their way to the back, to the foyer.